Hi, you're listening to Battles of Kingsgrave, and this is a special DVD commentary edition of the Jim Henson movie Dark Crystal, which was released in the early 80s. My name is Bina 007 on the podcast device of Fire Forums, and I'm joined by Mathieu.
Hi, Beric on the forums.
So we're going to watch Dark Crystal. Many of you will have editions of this on DVD or old VHS even, and I'll start with a variety of warnings, but we're going to start where there's a shot of space and you're about to get the Universal logo. So, 3, 2, 1, play. So, to explain to listeners, I've seen this film many times. It's also a favourite of Amber Rocks on the forum, but it's actually Beric's first time watching it, which I didn't realise until just now. But Beric, do you want to talk about a little bit your love of animation, I guess? I'm quite surprised you haven't seen it for that reason.
Oh, it's just, I've been aware of the film for quite some time. It's just I wasn't really able to find it until very recently, and so I haven't seen it really in full before. But because it's an animated film, and because it talks about set in a fantasy setting, so to speak, and that's mainly why I'm very eager to see it for the first time. I know more or less the general outlines of the story and how it goes, and because I've watched reviews of the film before, but this will be the first time I've seen it, and I think that stop motion animation here is very much like why it's held up so well for other people, probably because at least these are real puppets that are there actually, and there's something physical that is being captured on camera, and so it's really something different than I'd say like lots of CG animated films that are being released nowadays, because at some point the effects will be dated, and in this case it's probably much less likely.
It looks beautiful, and we should explain, because the first scenes are very important. They set up the mythology and the backstory of the world. So it's a film by Jim Henson and Frank Oz, who obviously created The Muppets most famously, with a screenplay by David O'Dell. So he was a staff writer on The Muppet Show. I don't think there wasn't a source book, which I think makes it even more amazing. But he then went on to write the Supergirl script and also Masters of the Universe. So he obviously had a kind of an interest in fantasy type stuff.
Sadly, those two films didn't go over too well.
Yeah. So anyway, the mythology of this world is it's 1,000 years ago on the planet Thra, and there's this magical, we're looking at it now, this beautiful purple, huge crystal. Dark crystal of the title, and it cracks. And when it cracks, two races appear, and they are in contention. So you've got the Skeksis, who are these really scary, evil, bird-like creatures. And then you have the Mystics, who are these lovely, kind wizards. And you've got the Gelflings, who are these lovely little sort of childlike, fairy-like creatures who work with the Mystics. So effectively, it's the Skeksis who are the evil guys. And it's all about, you know, when the moons align and the light goes through the crystal, different bits of power and whatnot will happen. So,
yeah. And so now they're sort of receiving. So it's kind of a ceremony going on here, right? They're just receiving some sort of light beams from the crystal, and it's this looks really well produced. Actually, it's you know, the puppet work is very detailed, and they all look very individualized. Like they don't really look like this. I mean, in a CG animated feature, they would probably look much more similar than they do here.
The textures are amazing, because these kind of Skeksis, they're kind of evil, raptory, bird-like, eagle things. And they've all got these amazing, almost like medieval British Tudor-type costumes on. But they look sort of deteriorated and corrupt. It's beautiful costume design, actually. Yeah. So the kind of the MacGuffin that powers this plot is that when the crystal cracked, there was one shard, and that shard has gone missing, kind of like a lightsaber or so. And if the crystal isn't repaired, there are three suns around this planet, and they're going to come in alignment. And if the crystal isn't repaired by the time the three suns come in alignment, the Skeksis will rule forever. So that gives you your MacGuffin, your plot point, your narrative, your time ticking. So yeah.
I just wonder, some of these are they all puppets, or are they costumes with real people in them sometimes as well?
Oh, I think like
Is
the
the
mystics are,
mystics
yeah,
probably
the
are
mystics are
actors, right?
people inside. So for people who know Fraggle Rock, there's a kind of Fraggly type aspect to the
Yeah.
to the mystics.
They look like turtles, I would say, or dinosaurs of some kind, more like,
Yeah, they've got
right?
the
This
kind of the
is
long snouts.
yeah. It's
Oh, I
really,
love when they sing. I forgot
yeah.
this.
And yeah, I mean, it's also, I mean, from what I heard, the film actually has some scary imagery for, I mean, at least considering it's supposed to be a kid's film.
I was really
Or,
scared by this when I
yeah.
watched it. It came out in the cinema when I was about 5 or 6. Yeah, in fact, younger, 5, 4 or 5, and I went to see it, and I was petrified actually by one of the good characters, who I'll explain when we get to them.
Yeah,
And here we go. Here are
it's
the
oh
Gelf
yeah.
things. They're kind of like little elves, I guess. Like it's a
Oh yeah,
very Rivendell type scenario.
they remind me of oh, there was a comic book that was sort of like the and they remind me of sort of a comic book that has some kind of elf-like creatures. I don't recall it right now, but or maybe it's sort of close to like. I don't know, they look maybe like people from Fern Gully or something like that, right?
Yeah.
It's close to that.
But it's all very
But
kind
he's
of rural and pan-like, and he sits there playing his little woodpipe. And so this is our hero, Jen. He's, yeah.
yeah. Who doesn't go to the hairdresser a lot, I guess.
No.
No.
So basically, the
But
hero and heroine are Jen and Kira, who are the Gelflings. Oh, the little hatchling birds.
Yeah.
So this is all just straightforward puppetry, right? Stop motion and puppetry.
Yeah, this is I would assume, because it's very difficult to sort of how I mean it because the face obviously Jen's face doesn't move a lot, so I'm not sure if the body language, I mean the body language, sort of the body movement seems a bit more abrupt, I would say. So that's would probably indicate that it's a puppet, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, and so
So,
he's being told that he has to find the shard, right? And then
yeah.
that's
Well,
yeah.
this very much reminds me of Luke Skywalker and Yoda,
Yeah,
this boy
that's
who's been
also
taken
similar.
in by the wild, wise old mystic. And he even calls him master, right? But this came out
Yeah.
before, after Star Wars, but before Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, so maybe George Lucas has some inspiration that he took from this.
Well, I just think like Jim Henson
Oh.
with Yoda obviously was hugely involved in Empire, so probably the genesis of both films was similar timed.
Yeah, it's sad that we don't get stop motion animation like this nowadays,
Yeah,
because
definitely.
it's very, I mean, it has to be very expensive. I mean, to make this stuff, although you can reuse it. It's not like digital effects where you have to constantly recreate them.
Yeah.
Once you're done, you can't, with a CG character, you have to still make it every time you have it on screen. So it's not like your costume that you can reutilize, and you only have to produce it once. So it's, but
Okay,
yeah,
so
it.
it's like this is actually Jim Henson. He's doing the puppetry on Jen, which is quite impressive, I feel. And
Yeah.
voiced by Stephen Garlick,
Who went on to do other things, I would imagine.
Yeah, but very kind of. I mean, this is basically a British American film, but a lot of these people are British, so. He's done a lot of sort of British TV and radio, but maybe not much that Americans might have heard of, I think.
Oh, he played Ibbotson in the Doctor Who story, Madryn Undead.
Yeah.
And yeah, also the Tomorrow, he was also in the Tomorrow People, I guess, in the sci-fi TV show. Yeah, but it's very much, as you say, it's very much a British cast, right?
I
So
love how the patterns on the face of the master Like it's so
Oh, yeah.
sad. Like it's like meant to be the ages of the lines of age, but the patterns kind of then match all these mystical patterns on his clothes. It just feels so tactile. It just feels like you could be like Tatooine, like you could be in that world. It's worn and
Yeah.
saggy and
Although I guess this is, I mean, still it's probably an indication. Fantasy films have, you know, had the reputation for a long time that they were sort of very, I mean, I would say very binary in the sense that you have, you know, a very clear good and evil conflict.
oh my God, this is such an evil character now coming on screen.
Yeah, the general, right? It's
Well, he's the chamber. Well, there's
Chamberlain.
the
He's the
chamberlain
general.
and the general who both
Yeah.
want power when the emperor dies. But yeah, this is proper evil. It always reminds me of like Richard III.
Yeah,
And what I
sort
love
of.
is like they're meant to be kind of humanoid, right? But when they see each other, they hiss like raptors. It's so creepy. And I love all this iron fretwork in the background. These beautiful like Art Nouveau shapes. It's beautifully done.
Oh, wow.
It
Yeah,
reminds me
he's.
very much of King's Landing with that kind of, you know, the little finger and the Varys
Yeah.
surrounding the dying Robert.
And it also, like, now it reminds me also a bit of Stardust, I guess.
Yes,
The
yes,
kid,
yes.
there's a scene where the king dies and stuff.
Oh, very
Although
much
this one
so.
has a this one doesn't seem to have an epic laugh at that one. But
Oh, one of them has a really creepy laugh. I think it's the Chamberlain has this very oleaginous, sycophantic laugh. Oh, and the king looks so frail.
Yeah.
The
And he
emperor.
looks like, I mean, that's, this is kind of, I mean, you wouldn't expect this from the guys who made the Muppets, right? It's sort of, it's closer to, for example, something like The Witches, I would say.
Yes, very Roald Dahl.
Yeah. And now he crumbles into, I think, yeah, he sort of disintegrates. Yeah, this is sort of something that you would expect in a more adult film. You know, this is not something that children are used to.
The Skeksis really scared me when I was a kid. They really did. But I was so in love with, I watched this film quite a few times. I loved the master. Like, I loved that race. I thought they were just so beautiful. I just wanted to have one. I wanted to have, like, a teddy bear in the shape of the master.
Oh
Here you
yeah.
go. What I
So now
love
he
is
also
this is
that. Oh.
the
Oh, sorry.
veneer of like civilization with these costumes and clothes, but then they just start genuinely fighting.
So I have a question because for me this is, I mean, I'm not familiar with all the details. So are they linked sort of physically as well, these two races, in a sense that when one dies, there's an equivalent in the other one that dies at the same time?
I don't think it's like for everyone, but certainly the master dies at the same time as the emperor dies.
Yeah.
And I think that has to do with the fact that both races were born from the Dark Crystal, I guess.
Yeah.
But you don't see it like when another Skeksis dies, then another one of that race dies. So I don't think it's like entirely like for like.
Oh, okay. It would be a neat concept if it was, I would say.
Yeah.
And so he's going off to find the shard. So, but at this point, I'm not sure he knows what to do with it once he gets it. Yeah, this is a wonderful shot, where he looks on the green onto the green fields.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just
and
love
yeah,
the
that.
contrast that, you know, in the grief of the em when the emperor dies, the Skeksis all turn to each other, but when the mystic dies, all the mystics gather in a circle and hold hands. Like
Yeah.
it's like this togetherness, community, peace.
Yeah.
They're just so lovely.
Against all the backstabbing that goes on at the
Yeah.
Skeksis place, yeah. So this is obviously now going to be Game of Thrones for kids. Sort of the
Yeah,
backstabbing part of
basically.
it, yeah. So yeah, the king has died. Who is going to take over now? Oh, the Chamberlain, sorry. And I assume that from what I know, there's one character, out of the two that you mentioned earlier, that is going to be the next one.
But what I think is brilliant is it's not, you know, well, anyway, I'm not going to spoil it because you haven't seen it yet.
No.
But yeah, it's actually, we should talk about the score. The score is very good to
Oh, yeah.
this. It's by Trevor Jones.
Oh yeah, he did. What did he? I think I own one of the soundtracks that he did, but I'm not sure which one
He did
right now. But
Excalibur. He did Labyrinth, obviously, which,
oh yeah,
I mean,
I
this is
have.
basically the team behind Labyrinth, which we definitely have to do next.
Yes, because of David Bowie,
Yeah, of
obviously.
course, of course.
He did Runaway Train. He did Angel Heart as well, which I have as
Mississippi
well.
Burning, Sea of Love, Last of the Mohicans.
Arachnophobia. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Last of the Mohicans was with yeah.
Merlin.
Oh, all these
Time
wonderful.
Bandits. I mean, his it's just brilliant. It's
Dark
amazing.
City as well. Yeah, that's a, he's done lots of things, but he even up to 2015, right? It's really but so yeah, now they're gonna pull.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Chamberlain. And at the time when I was a kid, I didn't even know what these words meant, but it was just like, oh,
They're gonna fight for
they're gonna throw down, literally fight for the
30.
throne or
Yeah.
the mace or whatever you want to call it. But I love that the Chamberlain has this really sort of high-pitched, sinister voice.
Yeah.
It's and this sort of like, oh, the Podlings.
Oh yeah.
So the Podlings are these people that the Skeksis have enslaved. They're kind of like these round people that basically, I don't know, they're sapped of their vital essence. But we'll get there.
I just have a question because I can hear the movie on your side. Do you think that won't be a problem if we
Oh yeah, I can turn it down a bit. Yeah.
because then obviously we don't have copyright or
Oh yeah,
whatever.
let me know if you can hear it again.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. So sword fight, and it's a bit Excalibur like.
Oh yeah, but
Just going for it, basically. Their swords are awesome as well.
Yeah, they're much too big to be practical in any sense, but still, it's very much a cool design to have anyway.
But insofar as they're these like old civil servants, they shouldn't be.
Yeah, and so now they're gonna hack at the. Oh yeah, and obviously the general won, right? So yeah, so he's the new emperor.
Yeah, but the question you have to ask yourself is it a Pyrrhic victory?
Could be.
I always think of the Chancellor as basically the little finger of this film. But anyway.
And so now the loser is sort of are they gonna kill him then because he's lost?
Well, wait and see.
Yeah, I know. I'm just wondering. Yeah, seems that way. Or they're gonna humiliate him.
Nah, he gets. I mean, to kill him would have been the wise move because he's evidently just going to then be resentful and cause all manner of shit. They just exile him, and then he becomes, a big part of the
Of the
plot.
plot.
Yeah, because then he wants revenge, and then he becomes all a bit like, Ka the snake in Jungle Book,
Oh
like
yes.
trust in me. He. That's the basic. The way in which that character's going to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sort of it's a very harsh society that they have us in. Oh yeah. But I also love the decoration. Like it's very rich in contrast to what we saw of the mystics, right? Which are very much poor and humble in their lifestyle. And yeah, this is very much, decadence and highly wasteful, I imagine. So it's very much
You're right, actually. Well, now you've said Stardust, I just can't help think of all the sons of the king just like offing each other and sitting there as ghosts in their ruffs and sort of doublets looking ridiculous.
That would actually, I wouldn't be surprised if the book that I don't know when the book came out, Stardust, but maybe it took inspiration from this in
Stardust
there.
is, much more recent. I think it's 90s or
Oh yeah, could be then. But I like the crystal as well. It's very, you know, it seems very mysterious, even though it's probably not gonna come. I mean, it's not going to come into play until the end of the film,
Yeah,
I would say.
Stardust was 1999, and then the movie was 2007.
Oh, these creatures remind me of the creatures that the villain in the NeverEnding Story 2 uses. Like they I mean, I don't know if you've seen the
No, I haven't
NeverEnding
seen the
series.
sequel.
No, but it's a, yeah, the sequel is not good, but it has also lots of neat creature designs.
Okay.
That's and these look very similar, I would say, like the bugs, or the pods, right? Oh, I don't know what they're called here in this film.
Podlings.
Podlings, yes. So
But
yeah,
anyway, yeah, the other
they
crucial
look
thing to
like them.
tell people is that the Skeksis can see Jen on his quest in the crystal. So the crystal is
Oh yeah.
also like a Palantir,
Sort of.
basically, kind
Yeah.
of, yeah.
And here's the Chamberlain smiling to himself, obviously as a plan.
And they have evil kind of beetle-y type creatures that they send out, who are sort of, I guess they're a little bit like in Lord of the Rings, the wraiths. That's
Yeah.
they can kind of go out and hunt people and then bring them back.
Oh, okay.
So I would definitely think that there's a sort of Lord of the Rings aspect to that. They're a bit like cross between a she-lob and a wraith.
Oh yeah. That's they looked like bed bugs to me,
Bedbugs or
in a sense. Yeah, sorry.
cockroaches or lobsters, or they're just scary. Scary and creepy, and there's way too many of them.
And now we entered we had a meta commentary on the whole thing because they said, what is this? This place is weird. Yeah. But it's crazily imaginative, like in the way that it designs the world that these creatures live in, and obviously the creatures that are populating it, because it's I mean, these look like big furballs that he's just seen, and now he's getting attacked by vines.
And what amazes me is that, like, all this imagination is basically, it's just for this one film. I mean, there's no source material, there's no,
Yeah.
they just sat down and decided that this is gonna be what they do. And it's a bit like Labyrinth, right? I mean, Labyrinth isn't based on a book, it's just a
Oh
story
yeah.
with a new world that they created and built, and it's just so impressive.
Yeah, and so now he's
So Jen is sort
met.
of clambering up a stone wall with these weird ass creatures. And he's basically heading to an oracle called Augra, who's got the shard, or he's been told has the shard.
Yeah, and so now Ogra is sort of talking to him as far as, oh, maybe I'm a bit f ahead. Could it be? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. She's like, do you want to describe Augra? She's got like these
Oh yeah, she's good.
antlery things, and she's like a bag lady.
She's like the crazy old cat lady that's living across the street, I would say. She looks a bit, you know, I don't know. She looks a bit crazy because she seems to be a hermit of some kind, right? And she has an eye that she can pop out at will and hold in her hands, from what I've seen. Which also, I mean, for kids, it's not something that you would actually expect expect them to handle. But I think what we should say in those cases is that there is a quote by Don Bluth who said you can show a child anything in a film as long as there's a happy ending. So you could, no, that's but I think that's true. They can handle a lot as long as, you know, there
And
is
it's the thing that
the
kids can handle more than we
guarantee
think
that
they
in the
can
end it will
handle,
work
right?
out fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids can
And
definitely
she has
handle.
a and now they're entering her home, I guess. And yeah, she has a lot of neat telescopes, planetariums, like really elaborate
It's
machinery
kind of like almost not
in her.
steampunk, because it's, but it is just the most cool kind of live, rotating, moving planetarium. But when you think that the whole concept of this film is that he has to get the shard back before the three suns align, then you can imagine that this planetarium, rather than having, as we would be familiar with it, you know, planets going around the sun, you've got to have three of those interlocking so that you can actually figure out the right time. But again, the design is beautiful. Like the way the blades curve, and it's just the most beautiful. It reminds me a lot of some of the better bits of design of, what's the Philip Pullman film?
Oh.
It wasn't a successful film.
I don't recall.
It's Dark Materials.
Oh, yes.
That had some beautiful design in it, too.
Yeah, that's the Golden Compass.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, now we
talk you know about what? I just had an uncharitable thought that because she's wearing this red dress with a kind of jewels in it, that this maybe is what Melisandre looks like without her ruby.
Oh, could be. I don't know. We'll see. We have to see. But I assume there's something going on. Like, you know, that she's in the book. She says that she's really old. So
I think she's basically Augra.
Could be. But you know, I wouldn't. You know, it's still like doesn't change anything that you know she's got powerful magic.
I mean, Augra, the way she interacts with Jen is basically like female Yoda, right?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, Yoda at the beginning, I would say, where she's sort of a bit grumpy, and she's not apparently very sure as to what he can and can't do. So I would say that she's sort of trying to assess his personality, I guess. And then Chanel, she dumped a bunch of crystals at his feet, so I'm not sure what he is.
I do think it's always funny that she has these really, like, the way she walks is really old woman walk with a sort of slightly saggy tits as well. It's it's very kind of unflattering portrait. It's not like a cuddly old granny in any way.
No.
So the concept here is that she, you know, he's just come along a bit like, you know, Arthur, like, saying that he wants to get Excalibur. And she's like, well, here are lots of different shards. Let's see if you can figure out which one actually comes from the crystal. So there was foreshadowing when we saw him playing his little panpipe earlier. He's going to play his pipe, and the shard that resonates is going to be the shard shard.
Yeah. It's also... Probably, we have been shown the crystal before, and the crystal was very clearly of a different color than the shard is right now. So
yeah, exactly.
This is a magical. Situation. So it's
there will be magics.
Yeah, and now he plays the flute, and the shard begins to glow. So,
job done.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting, like, because already we've spoken of, like, and it's kind of interesting to me as well that when he's deciding how he's going to figure this out, he has this vision of the masters and his old master. So it's a bit like Luke Skywalker when he has difficult times, like having the voice of Ben Kenobi or the voice of Yoda.
Yeah, and here the stormtroopers arrive, right? So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, but they're also very intimidating, right? It's yeah,
because they're big. I mean, they're bigger than Augra, and they just trash everything, right?
Yeah, they're like crabs, and it's big crabs with, you know, scary pincers. And no, it's very much this is very well done, I would say. It's you know, there's a fire in the background and all that stuff,
and so it doesn't look as fake on, like, sometimes the edges. If you see a bright fire against a matte painting, it can look like you can really see the edges of it, even in Star Wars, but it's really well done. But oh no, who is this creeping into the scene? It's the Lord Chamberlain.
Ah, yeah.
Stripped of all his finery.
Hmm.
So what do you think is going to happen at this point?
Ah, he's probably going to try to convince him to give the shard to him. Right.
Well, one would hope something. Anyway, we go back to now the masters.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like the fleeing from Rivendell, I feel. It's sort of like this old ancient race. if the Shard isn't restored, it's the end of their time. This great doom is coming to their land, so they have to all be on the move. And they all set out, but they're kind of very slow and magisterial. But it's sometimes I wonder if Peter Jackson has been inspired by this, because some of the kind of the landscape shots of the Masters moving on their great trek reminds me a lot of the elves in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it's also, but once again, I would say this also reminds me once more of you know, dinosaurs, especially because they seem to be moving, like it's like a herd or something,
yeah,
you
know, absolutely,
moving across large spaces.
Yeah. And if you say that the Skeksis are like raptors, then that definitely makes sense.
Like they're like vultures in a sense.
And just the creatures here, like the way the different plants are kind of alive and breathing.
Yeah, that's very neat. It's not something that you would imagine stop motion could do very easily, but
I mean, some of this is animatronic, right? This is very early pioneering animatronics. None of this looks dated. Like, I'm watching this on HD right now on a massive TV. It really holds up.
Yeah. It's also very colorful, which is not, you know, it's colorful without being in your face about it.
It's like pastels. It's very beautiful.
Very understated, I would say.
So just as when the Skeksis looked into the Dark Crystal, they could see Jen, if he looks into his shard, can see what the Skeksis are up to. So it's kind of like reverse Palantir.
Yeah.
So that's kind of handy.
But he doesn't know what it's going to do, but now he has a vision, and he sees the Lord Chamberlain smashing crystal, even though we've been told like there's at least, you know, this big ritual that the Skeksis have to perform, obviously, so they wouldn't smash the crystal until they have finished whatever plan that they have. So you know, it's
but like I guess it's hard to interpret, I guess.
Yeah, it's also, you know, as you say, it's very, very vague visions, you know. Not really something that you can.
Oh yeah, we should also point out that Orgra was taken prisoner by the evil beasties rather than being killed, because that would be very traumatic.
And she threw some stuff at them.
So she still lives to fight another day.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Pip and Merry.
Yeah.
I do feel this is a strange combination of so many kind of mythic sources, whether it is Star Wars or Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars had a big impact, like at least visually, on other films at the time. So I would say that this is very much, it draws, you can feel that there's some inspiration that's drawn from it, right? But
then again, it's not so much inspiration as it's the same creative mind who created both. So arguably Star Wars is, I mean, they're just both from the mind of Jim Henson in terms of how these habitats are made, like Dagobah.
Oh yeah, here this one. This one reminds me of this creature that Jabba the Hutt has around all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And then Luke, sort of falling into the swamp on Dagobah, and here comes the chick.
Yeah,
hot chick, Kira.
Oh yeah, well.
So Kira basically was the puppeteer was Catherine Mullen, and what did she also do? Like loads of Muppet stuff, basically.
So
she did all the goblins in Labyrinth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so now they're getting acquainted. And so, apparently he's a bit shocked that he's not the only one of his kind left. So it's something positive happened today.
So Kira is voiced by Lisa Maxwell, who, for British people, is part of Loose Women, which is a chat show. And she was also in The Bill, which is like a cop show, but I've never watched it. And apparently played Naomi in EastEnders. So again, not voice actors who have become sort of, you know, like massive Hollywood stars or anything. But still very good. So then he tells her his backstory. Oh, little cute little baby girl thing. So they tell each other their stories of how they were raised by the masters different separately.
I do have one thing to say though. It's some of these relationships between the characters, like what he says about the master and everything, that's delivered through dialogue rather than through visuals at the beginning. I mean, it would have been nice if we had seen this visually at the beginning of the film, so that he wouldn't have to so that he wouldn't have to explain it now to the audience. With
But they are
dialogue, is
doing
what I'm saying.
it. But what I think is quite cool is that they do it. It's kind of neat because they do it through touch. So when they hold hands, they get each other's backstory. So
Oh,
it's a bit of a
yeah. There's,
montage in a way, but
yeah, they have sort of telepathic
it's kind of
powers
like
in
a
a sense,
mind
but.
meld or something. Anyways, she does this weird like goat bleating sound, which is a bit unattractive, and he's kind of like reverse sucked out of the boggy swamp on the back of her pet, who's the coolest pet ever.
Yeah,
This
giant frog.
giant froggy type thing, called Fizzygig,
Yep.
and they speak their own weird ass language as well.
Or dream, they call it dream fasting or something,
Yeah.
right? Yeah. Yeah. And it's yeah, that's he looks like a I would say he looks like a cross between a dog and and maybe a hamster or something like that,
Yeah, it's kind of funny. But he's got really like aggressively sharp teeth, so yeah.
maybe.
Anyway, so they're now off on their quest, boyfriend, girlfriend, fizzy gig.
Yeah. Oh, now we are at the feast at the Skixis place.
Yeah, so basically, as far as they're concerned, all is well. This is very George R. R. Martin. There's like shed loads of
Yeah.
banqueting foods, ridiculousness. There's a high table. It's just bonkers. These thrones make the Iron Throne look pathetic. They're pretty hardcore. And they're doing that whole like medieval thing where you just eat with a big fat knife and a very ornate goblet rather than.
Actually, the medieval thing would have been to just take it with your hands and throw it
When did the
behind you.
knife come in?
I have no idea. That's very interesting. It's a very interesting question. I'm sad to say I don't have the answer. But still, it's something that they obviously they aren't they don't have good manners, obviously, because we already saw them insult each other at the table, so it's not the best company to keep.
What I love is like the details. So like when one of the Skeksis is like sort of eating a bit of meat, then he'll like pull it apart and this like long tendril of like sinew will sort of snap. I mean, it's just the detail is really disgusting. And to the
And you
point
have
that
to
when they
see.
like throw a chunk of food, there'll be some nasty little rat like creature. He then you get the POV from the rat's eye view. It's just, oh, it's brilliant. And the flame looks real, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and so you said, yeah, this sort of
These are
trying
not.
to get something out of through out of the, out of the, between their teeth or something like that. So it's yeah, they are not very pleasant to look at when they eat. So yeah, but they behave like, I mean, they obviously they have lots of bird-like characteristics in the way that they behave, also like they move, and it's very much. Yeah, it did, and yeah, now it seems like they
Oh my
oh
God.
they eat
Oh,
the rats as well,
the
so it's
live baby
a
rat things.
yeah.
So the whole thing is to basically catch it on the table as it runs and then eat it.
Yeah,
So
I agree.
disgusting.
And now the big
Ugh.
bug thingies come back, so
Yeah, the whole
yeah.
thing's pretty disgusting. Oh yeah, so here come back the wraiths and they kind of give their report.
Yeah, but it's not the girlfriend. Yeah.
So yeah, Augur in a sack basically.
Yeah.
So she's going to be pretty fracking pissed off at this point.
She only has, I mean, she has two eyes. One is on her forehead, right? And the other one is
Like,
in
who's
the
more
stomach.
shocked in the guards, them or her?
I guess, you know, she's pretty surprised why they would want her at all. Oh, but yeah.
She's
So she
pretty
now she's
hardcore.
yeah, she's laying out her grievances right now.
But she's a bit like Yoda as far as she doesn't speak in the normal pattern, like you know, Gelflingon. It's sort of the construction of her sentences is a bit dodge.
Yeah.
It's hard to stop watching. This is such a good scene. She totally commands it.
Yeah, she's sort of not really bothered by them, in a sense. Like she's not really concerned as about what they're going to do with her. So
Yeah,
it's,
she literally gives no fucks. I mean,
Yeah, now bat-like creatures flying out the window.
yeah. So now you have like the airborne wraiths,
And
and they're sort of
this,
bats, aren't they, basically?
yeah. And this is like, now our two protagonists are on the river.
Yeah, all very cute. What I love about this film is its ability to mix real natural environments with all these effects, and then it just makes it feel so much more lived in and authentic.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, some of these do look like sets, but some, or you know, and some of them actually look like they've been really filmed outdoors on a real river, I would
Yeah, like
say. Like the
that
first one.
sky scene at the back, the trees, that looks very real. So, and the Gelflings are always shot in this lovely sort of corally warm light.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and now they've been spotted.
Oh yes, so it's almost, and what I love here is the POV of the cameras from through the rushes onto them, so it's a little bit like someone's tracking them, like orcs. And obviously, we realize it's the Chamberlain who, you know, wants to tempt them into an alliance.
Oh, so they're crystal bats. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's what's.
And of course, Fizzygig's the one who spots them first.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. So Kira takes care of the wraiths with her little slingshot.
Yeah.
Skills, mad skills. He's not very gallant, is he, as a boyfriend, Jem? Because he sort of
No.
lets her do the rowing
Yeah.
and the killing of the enemies. So, yeah.
So now we are back with the mystics going through the land.
Yeah, the mystics are sort of leaving
Yeah,
Rivendell for the west.
sort of. But it's, I would say that at least this scene, I don't know exactly what it was supposed to communicate to us, that they're still going somewhere, but we don't know where they're going, or
Just on the move, have to
just, yeah.
leave. Because they know that if the Skeksis get eternal power, they're gonna first thing
Of
they're gonna do
course.
is come and kill them.
Yeah.
Oh, Podlings!
Yeah, and
Podlings
so
are so
now,
cute.
and so now, I mean, that's who
They're a
she
bit like
grew up with,
Cabbage
right?
Patch Kids, aren't they? The kind of the face shape and everything.
Yeah, somewhat. I'd say they are much like, I mean, they're sort of like gnomes
Yeah.
in a way.
So these are kind of, they're like hiding out in the forest and they're like little country folk and they have their little, the bards and the singers in the tavern and they're very, very cute.
Yeah, they look closest to what a Muppet in this world would look like, I guess.
Yeah.
And she grew up with them, if I understand it
Yes,
correctly.
so they
Yes.
raised her while the Mystics raised Jem. So.
So she would, I mean, could you imagine what ha would have happened if she had been like, I mean, I don't know, like the she wouldn't have been able to live on a, I mean, they're, we are not sure if there are any other types of creatures in this world, right? Apart from
Yeah, this is kind of
the
all we
mystics.
see. They always remind me of Smurfs because they've all got these caps on.
Sort of.
And because they sing
They're
songs.
not blue. They're
There's
not
some
blue people.
jaunty dancing on tables. This really reminds me of some of those scenes in The Hobbit, like the end of the Green Dragon. I think life would be quite fun as a
It's
podling.
like you, it's just that you have to live in a way that no one else knows that you live there, right? You have to sort of be in hiding in a way. You have to sort of live in a small space that no one else can access for you to live that happily, that peacefully, I guess, in this
In a hobbit
situation.
hole.
He's playing the flute, so I mean, he's that going for him, right? He's got that going for him, I would
He's
say.
like a
So
rock star, is that what you're trying to say?
yeah, but the other guys are playing instruments as well. It's not like he's not that special. He's just the only thing that I could see now, because as you said earlier, he's probably not, gonna, he's not the most gallant boyfriend so far. So I have to wait and see if that changes. And
Anyway,
now they
the
can,
party's getting rowdy and cool. But oh no, in come the nasty, evil beetle guys, beetle bugs. In fact,
in
they've got a
comes.
proper name. What is their name? They are the Garfim, that's it.
We don't know exactly how they got tamed, though. It's. I mean, they would be able to sort of take care of the Skeksis by themselves if they wanted to, right?
So basically, according to this, Brian Froud, who created the Garfim, said they were inspired by lobsters, but they are related to the crystal because when they get excited, their eyes grow purple, which is the kind of the color of the crystal.
Oh yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, so they are sort of somehow kind of like Ringwraiths, they're a little bit connected to the magics.
Even though you said that you find the ring race and a lot of rings not really that effective, as in terms of being scary, whereas
These
these
guys are way
guys,
more scary. Look at them. They're like picking up podlings and just like killing them and putting them in baskets.
Oh, and here we saw the Chamberlain stepping in.
Oh, little
So,
baby podling with a baby doll. Oh, so sad. This was quite scary as a child. So
So the Ch
basically.
Chamberlain is has something planned here, but we don't know what exactly yet.
So basically, Jen and Kira think that he saved their life because he stopped them when they were coming.
I mean, I would say that, I mean, if they have to wait for the three suns to align, or the three stars to align for the crystal to work, then it would make sense that if he wants to stall them for, if he wants to at least keep them busy until that time is come, right? And it would make sense for him to step in then, because he would not want the other ones in his, on his in his clan to sort of get what they want before he has a chance to take it as well, right?
Absolutely.
So now our heroes are sort of talking over this, the what happened just now, right? So
Yeah,
it's
they're figuring out that having the shard is basically bad news and it destroys people, and Jen just wants to throw it away. This is kind of like the darkest moment of despair. And he's
And he was,
wounded.
and here we have a wonderful shot, like, of the mystics wandering through the land again, but set against a beautiful sunset, or is it the sunrise? I'm not sure.
Sunset, probably.
Sunset, yeah. Sunrise,
Sunset.
sunset.
We should definitely do Fiddler on the Roof one day. Like a sing-along
Oh yeah,
FCR, that'd be hilarious. Yeah, this
and
is
that was
beautiful,
also.
isn't it? I mean, this is definitely real. So someone's done some beautiful live action nature photography.
And lighting obviously is very important in this, because obviously
The
you are not.
cinematography is like a proper live action film. Like the way in which the camera, like here, swoops down from an aerial shot through the trees to our romantic couple, and Like that camera angle, it's never just let's just put it static dead on and look at the Muppets. It's very expressionistic camera work, I would say. Anyway, our chased couple awake.
Yes, and
And
they find some ruins.
yeah, so they're going to discover the prophecy that they have to put the shard back into the dark crystal.
Yeah, and now he hears something, but we don't know what. Oh yeah, so this was, old Gelfling
Well, this is
colony
their ancestral village, basically.
village, yeah.
It's like going back to, well, not Minas Tirith because that's still lived in, but like an abandoned city.
Let's say it's like going to Osgiliath, maybe.
Yeah, exactly,
Something
Osgiliath. But
like
beautiful, all covered in vines and ivy and just very nicely, subtly decayed.
that. It's not curious, obviously. Trying to process it all and sitting on a throne.
Yeah, I mean,
And
this is basically their future too, if they succeed, isn't it? Like holding
Yes.
this kind of beautiful medieval town, city.
So they are going to have to, because they are almost extinct, right? So they obviously, if they want the Gelfling population to come back, they would probably have to, busy. Oh yeah, another prophecy.
Yeah, which looks a little bit like sort of Egyptian hieroglyphs. Like
Yes.
everyone's sideways on and it's very hieroglyphic to me.
Yeah.
More than
Two-dimensional drawings and so
the sort of
two-dimensional
very delicate elvish work that we used to. This is quite sort of more
drawings.
squarish pictographs, I would say.
Oh, and here comes the ex-chamberlain.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
Pretending to be a friend, right?
Yeah,
So
I'm pretending to be very weak and very sort of harmless. And look at me, I'm just some poor, skinny, quasi-naked guy who's been stripped of everything. And I've got as much reason to hate them as you. And, you know.
But he at least says something truthfully here that he saved them from the Gotham, right? So
Yeah, which he did, but
that's
obviously
true. Yeah.
deliberately, you know.
Yeah, of course. But still, it's I'm just saying that he has he's cunning enough that he mixes some truth with the lies as well, right? So.
But he almost quasi-hypnotizes, like his voice. He is a little bit like Kaa the Snake from the Jungle Book.
Yeah, of course.
Like Kira sort of has to sort of break the spell
Step
in a
in, yeah.
way. There's this kind of blue light that shines on his forehead when the Chamberlain's speaking to Jem.
Yeah.
So I found the Lord Chamberlain really quite petrifying.
Because we don't know what his design is at the moment. That's what makes him most scary, I'd say.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly why he's trying to get friendly with them now. I mean, we sort of know that it has to do with the shard somewhat, but we don't know exactly what his plan is in detail.
But anyways, Kira does her magic-y calling thing, and in come basically organic AT-ATs, which are called, they've got a proper name, Land Striders. There you go.
Oh yeah. Oh, they remind me of the guys in Mad Max Fury Road in the swamp. I don't know if you've seen the film.
Yeah, I have,
You've
like
seen, yeah,
ages ago.
there's a point where they go through some kind of desert, and there's at night there's some so there's some old dead trees, and among the trees are like there's I mean they're in a swamp, and there's sort of like people walking on stilts, and
Oh,
it's like
right.
those guys, and
Yeah.
these remind me definitely of those, like
Yeah.
very
Well, I wouldn't be
similar.
surprised if they're an
Yeah,
inspiration
if
too. But they're
yeah
very
because it's like
beautifully designed. They're almost like bats, very delicate, but these very sort of tapered legs. It's
yeah
bizarre.
it seems like almost that they have like I mean are those ears or are those wings on their back? It
Yeah.
seems like
Fizzy Geek
yeah
is not keen on getting on.
no Yeah, he's making that quite clear.
He's whining. He's whining away. Yeah, there must be ears, right, on the back. Wings.
Wings, so I mean, yeah,
But the wings and the
I thought,
legs almost, I don't know.
yeah, it almost, I mean, I would have said at first, I would have said that they look like rabbit ears, maybe or something like that, but it's not ears. It seems like more like they're wings,
They're
but they
very
would be too
odd.
short to fly. They are very, very strange indeed. Oh, they also remind me a bit of the Wheelers from Return to Oz.
Yes. Oh my God, I love that film.
Yeah, that's also something we should do at some
We
point.
should definitely do Return to Oz at some point. I haven't seen that film in ages. That film also really scared me when I first watched it.
Yeah, and that's what I like about most of 80s fantasy because
Very
it's
dark.
not pop. Yeah, it's not popular. And that's probably an advantage from the fact that fantasy was not that popular, so it could afford to sort of do more daring stuff in order to become more popular.
No one
And
expected
that's
these movies to make money. They
no.
were just proof of concept, weren't they?
Yeah. So
Oh.
you could basically go as wild as you wanted because you knew at some to some degree that they were not going to be big financial hits necessarily, right? So you had more freedom to sort of see what works, be creative.
Yeah.
And nowadays, like, it's mostly high fantasy type stuff.
I mean, it wasn't a commercial failure. It turned a profit at the cinema, but I think E.T. came out the same year, and so obviously every kid went to see
Oh,
E.T. 15
yeah,
times.
E.T. crushed everything else.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, now you're going to see the weird process by which podlings get turned into zombies,
Oh,
which again
yeah.
is really petrifying. The kind of the dark crystals, purple rays, they're forced to sit in these chairs like the Clockwork Orange with their eyes open.
Yeah.
Which is very dark, and then the crystal goes straight in their eyes, and this precious bodily fluid comes out of
That's
their bodies. It's like they're drained of their soul. It's
yeah, sort of.
really graphic, and
Oh,
their
yeah.
body withers and dehydrates, and their eyes become glassy. It's almost like someone were becoming a heroin addict in fast forward motion.
Yeah,
It's
it's.
really dark, and then basically the Skixis then takes this vial of their fluid. And they've become slaves. But it's
Yeah.
very Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, in a sense, and also the chamber that the crystal rests in is glowing red and stuff. It's like a bit of hellish type of
And then
environment,
basically
right?
the Skeksis drink
Yeah,
the
they are sort of.
fluid. Oh,
I don't
so
know what that.
disgusting. I think
Yeah.
that's what's keeping them alive, right? And im not immortal,
Oh,
but long
yeah.
lived.
They want to. Yeah, obviously.
Because, yeah, you can
They
see their
want to.
skin
Yeah.
becoming more full. So it's almost like they're drinking collagen or
Yeah,
something.
they want to rejuvenate themselves.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
So
So,
disgusting.
yeah. And they also manage to have their eyes glow at some points, right? There's
Yeah, definitely.
this it's really well done. And so now he's yeah, but he's the he's degenerating right away. So now it's not working for him as he anticipated. Yeah.
Here we go. So newfound sort of power and adrenaline goes on a bit of a mini rampage because
Oh, they use the Gelflings to rejuvenate themselves. That's the
yeah,
thing.
basically.
Yeah.
And Augur is seeing all this stuff. She's still alive
Yeah. I don't know why they keep her around. Like
because
they
it's a
don't have any
kid's
use for her.
film.
Yeah. No, of course, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of
Yeah.
the story, it doesn't really make sense for them to keep her around. Yeah, and so now
Basically, so
they're
Jen and
coming.
Kira are heading for the crystal because they've realized they now have to take the shard back and do that stuff.
Yes.
Even though that brings them into the path of danger.
Oh yeah, and now there's a fight breaking out trying to free
The podlings
the podlings,
that have just been captured.
yeah.
And actually, what's interesting here is that Jen goes in first, not Kira. So she really is like the Arya. She's a
Yeah.
feisty, strong female character. So even though to a certain extent she's brought in that classic 80s way just as a sidekick girl for the main hero to fall in love with,
Yeah.
she actually is very strong and
I
like
mean,
she takes a lot of action.
Yeah, in this context, yeah, she's more proactive than he is. So,
Definitely.
although you might question whether or not it was a wise action to begin with. Oh, so now they're falling off a cliff.
Yeah, but this is going
Yeah.
to be handy. Wait and see.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a long way to fall, mate.
Oh, no, now the
Oh no, the land striders are
rest.
getting ripped apart. You see, this is quite traumatic for a kid.
That's oh yeah, I would say.
But actually, strangely, that isn't one of the things I remembered. It's more. Oh no.
And so now they're jumping. Oh, she has wings, yeah. That's probably something that he does not have. So,
Yeah, well, now you know why she was wearing that skanky cloak the whole time.
yeah.
Although what I find weird about this scene is, right, okay, they escape by sort of jumping slash flying over the side. But what about the little podlings that were just released and now the beetles can just go and eat them?
Yeah.
Round them back up.
Yeah, they're not going to kill them. They're going to need them
Yeah, they'll re-entrap them.
drain them off
And
their precious bodily fluids. But
exactly. They're not going to get killed, but still. The outlook does not look positive.
yeah, here we have a secret entrance way,
Of
or is it?
course,
It's more like
this
a.
is like yeah,
It's
Helm's Deep. There's always like a secret little tunnel into the castle.
yes.
That's why I said that falling over the edge wasn't a bad move. And as with Helm's Deep, it is a little water inlet slash
Yeah,
outlet.
yeah. It seems like a drain. It seems like a drain.
Yeah, there's
So,
always a sewer. It's like Shawshank Redemption.
yeah. And I mean, I just love the fact that he said, I wings. I don't have wings. And she said, of course not. You're a boy. It's like,
Oh,
that's just
yet another
something.
example of why girlflings are awesome.
And still the mystics going through the,
There's
yeah.
still the Chamberlain following them. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish we would see the mystics do some stuff instead of just walking around.
Yeah, but they're mystics, man. They don't
Yeah,
have
of
to do
course.
stuff. They just
No,
are.
but maybe
They're like
holding hands.
elves. They just
Maybe they
sit.
could maybe they could hold hands in a circle whilst chanting something, or something. I
They
don't
did
know.
that already.
Yeah, they did that already. It's true. What else is there for them to do?
Exactly. Anyway, so
It's
now Kira and Jenna are
yeah.
in some lovely underground passage, almost with like stalactites and stalagmites and little underground streams. It's very pretty.
And the water coming through the roof and stuff like that. So those kinds of little details are what make
And
films
little
like this
creep,
so
crawly
visually interesting.
creatures, yeah, scuttling along the floor. Like there's always something for the eye to alight upon and delight in a Henson movie. Like he
Yeah,
thinks of
that's
every creature from the giant to the tiny.
yeah. And so it's again the Chamberlain coming in trying to
Give him a
seduce
peace
them to his
offer.
side. Yeah.
So he keeps basically saying, look, let's make peace, let's stop the fighting. If you help me, I'll help you
Well,
know.
he's being very aggressive about it. He's not really making a good case for himself. And now,
Now
he's
he's getting quite
wounded.
aggressive.
Yeah, and so now he has been wounded also.
Yeah, and Fizzygig starts attacking him too.
Yeah. Gelfling, you'll die. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not good at pretending, so.
But what's quite interesting is that when Jen uses the crystal to stab him, like you can tell that because it's the crystal, he's feeling it more, and that you then get that kind of flash to the mystic.
Yeah.
But anyway, shit's got real now. Gloves are off. No more Mr. Nice
Yeah.
Guy. He's
Yeah,
buried Jen in the rock rubble and taken Kira prisoner.
yeah. Which is,
Fizzy gig's
something. I
like,
mean, yeah, you would think that he couldn't free himself by himself, so.
one would have thought so. But, you know.
Yeah, we'll see where it
We'll
goes.
see what
So,
happens.
yeah.
But Fizzygig's still there. He knows what's going on, so.
Yeah. And so the Chamberlain brings back the Gelfling. So, I mean,
I love the
what
reaction
could,
of the other Skeksis. It's like, oh, what's going on? They run screaming. That's so funny. Like flapping their hands, like Varys.
But they are not really as Machiavellian, I would say, the other ones. Like,
Yeah, no, I mean, the Lord
they're just
Chamberlain is
order.
definitely on working on another little fingery type level.
They're just order takers.
Yeah, exactly. They're just schmoes.
And so now he's rather pleased with himself. So yeah, that he has caught her, right? And so, And so they're gonna try to drain her of her life essence.
Yeah, with all too predictable sort of, what do you do when you're a Skeksis and you get another life form? Drain them of their precious bodily fluids.
I love how we always make constant references to Dr. Strangelove, even though the films are completely different.
Yeah, but Doctor Strangelove's just like legend. I know practically every line of that film off by heart, so. In fact, that would be a great FCR.
Yeah, I would say like you could have a fantasy film like with with in that same setting, like, you just you just rename the Soviet Union something else and America something else, and then you have sort of like you could have the mystics on one side and the Skeksis on the other side trying to sort of like use the crystal as this metaphorical bomb or something like that. It's like really well, you could have a Doctor Strangelove set in
Just
that
call it
crystal
Dr.
plant.
Crystal or something,
Yeah, Dr.
yeah.
Crystal,
The
yeah.
mashup.
Or how I stopped worrying and love the crystal.
Exactly. Anyway,
This
Fizzy
anyway,
Gig's
yeah.
busting
They
out. He wants to be reunited with Kira and get Jen out because, despite being a whiny little
And there's a
furball.
very familiar eye watching all of this, right? Oh yeah, there's an eyeball on the table, which we know belongs to
Okra.
Raya. And so now they're gonna try to drain her of her essence, Kira of her essence. We'll see how that
But
goes.
luckily, we've seen this before with the bottling, so we know
Yeah, we know
what to
what to
look
expect,
for.
yeah.
Exactly, we've been nicely set up for this.
So yeah, that's the crystal.
Here we go. See, this I was very scared by this when I was a kid.
Yeah, this is yeah, the this huge crystal try is starting to glow and stuff like that. And so yeah, it's now they're draining essence. But what I'm not really sure what they do with the slaves once they're drained of their essence.
Oh, then
Like,
they
are
just
they?
become zombie slaves.
Yeah, they're not. They're, I mean, are they using them as servants then?
Yeah, then they're serving the food and cleaning everything and just generic slaves. So here we go, the
Oh, yes.
purple light is on Kira and she can't escape.
Yeah. So she's told that she has to call the animals. So.
Essence starts to drip into the shard, into the.
And so
Anyway,
now
Fizzy
all the
Gig's got Jen out, so that's a good thing.
yeah. And so now all the other animals are being called to help. So we'll see if they can change the tides. If they can turn the tide. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, like, given that she's the heroine, I would say that the chances are quite good. It's quite funny. And it is also convenient that the Skeksis do just have a bunch of caged animals just sitting there randomly.
Yeah, they want to eat them, obviously. But now their food has, now the food eater has become the food.
Yeah, the hunter becomes the slave. But they're all locked up in cages, so it's hard to know exactly what they're going to do at this point. But Augur is like shouting out her sort of orders.
Yeah, and so now all the animals are attacking him.
Yeah, there you go. They're breaking out the cages. They're going for it now.
So is he gonna fall into the crystal chamber? Could be.
Oh, the tension is unbearable. What's going to happen?
Oh, the crystal has moved on. The crystal is sort of
Yeah,
bored.
because they're basically.
Now he's yeah, yeah, he's falling into this fiery pit of death. Oh, as I said, there's another one going. Another one of the mystics has died as well.
Oh, so maybe it is that if one Skeksis dies, one mystic has to die then.
Yeah,
I
that's
wonder
quite possible.
if actually the basic mythology is a bit like Lord of the Rings, that when the crystal is reformed and the Gelflings come to rule, that both mystics and Skeksis have to disappear from the earth. I mean, that scene there is very much like crunching into the flames of Mordor, right?
That's a Gollum falling into the
Yeah.
pit.
Okay, so yeah, you're absolutely right. Skeksis and Mystics are related, and all must leave Middle Earth.
It could also be just this whole yin yang thing. Like there's, the forces of evil can't exist without the forces of good, and so if one evil dies, then some to obviously keep the balance, there has to be also some. I think if one of the Skeksis dies, then that means that one of the Mystics has to die, so that good and evil are not out of balance, so to
Yeah, it's very
speak.
Manichaean in that respect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now Jen is falling through a, I mean, through, he's fallen through a hole. We'll see if he gets out.
Anyway, more visions of the mystics kind of returning to the kind of the magic meteorite sort of space rocket from which the dark crystal originally came. So they're kind of returning to their birthplace effectively.
Oh yeah, he's Jen has fallen into the Gotham pit.
Yeah, there you go. This is not going to be good. This is a bit She Loves Her.
Gosh. Yeah, that's actually pretty nasty, yeah.
Yeah, this is really freaking scary now.
Yeah, it's oh that it's oh they smashed another hole in the Oh yeah, I see. And now he's trying to climb up to where Kira is probably.
It's a little bit like when Luke falls into the not the Sarlacc pit, you know, when he's in Jabba's palace and he falls into the Rancor pit.
Yeah, Rancor pit, yeah.
Yeah. Not that everything's like Star Wars, but some things really are.
Oh, so now Fizwick made it.
Yeah, so he basically breaks through into the sort of the crystal, the sort of the hall that keeps has the crystal in it. So he's basically gonna, which kind of looks when you look down like Mordor.
He's climbing up the wall to see if he can.
So he should be reunited with Jen at this point, and the mystics are almost back at the sort of like the mystical place where the crystal first came to the planet. So they've made their journey back to the west.
Yeah, and she now he's seen that Olga is alive, and she tells him that they took Kira, that they took Kira, and that there's this. I mean, obviously the three suns are aligning, so
Yeah, the fact
he
that
has to
Orgra
very
has a
quickly.
remote control eye is like seriously helpful at this point.
No, but that's oh yeah, and the Mystics obviously trying to get inside, but they are being blocked. I mean, their way is being blocked by the beetle guys. So it's
Yeah.
but apparently they also have some power over them, so that they can pass right away. Yeah, it makes sense actually. If they are both like if both the Skeksis and the Mystics were created by the crystal cracking, then obviously they have the same source of power in a sense,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
And that would mean that they also have this probably some influence over the what's it called, the Gimrath,
Yeah, the no, the Garthim.
Gotham. Yes, I'm sorry, the Gotham. Oh yeah, now back at the crystal chamber. So Jen is quietly observing.
She looks kind of like sullen around the eyes, like obviously being exposed to the crystal has. Like she's not totally zombie, but it's definitely like she doesn't look like old Jen. She's been a bit
No,
affected.
she's rather paler than usual.
Yeah, looking a bit gaunt and yeah, Jen's basically found his way into the crystal chamber. And the crystal just looks awesome and it's smoking. I mean, the effects of the kind of the smoke around it are really cool. And you can see the shard like where it needs to.
And all the symbols on the floor
Yeah.
are very interesting.
And the three suns are nearly aligning over the crystal.
And so now there's a procession here going on, but where the Skepsis are making their way towards the crystal chamber.
Yeah. And it's like, come on, Frodo, throw the ring into the pit. Why are you waiting, mate? Why are you waiting?
You see, the crystal is has become precious to him.
This is the very frustrating James Bond moment where you're like, enough already, just put the shard back
Yes.
in.
Yeah.
So anyway, here come the Skeksis.
Yeah. And Jen's observing the three suns, obviously. Still.
I do love all the kind of astrological signs on the floor around the crystal, though. It's very cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because they are the
Like, does he have
different.
to wait for, why is he waiting for them all to get into the
Yeah, I think he
Sagwire?
has to wait for the three suns to align still,
Oh, he had to,
right?
I thought it was just the shard had to be in it before the three suns, or does it have to be exactly at the moment it has to go in?
I'm not sure. It could be either. I mean, I this is the first time I've seen the film in full, so it's probably, yeah. It could be that, but we'll see. They're
No,
getting
I
together
think
now.
it's that it can be done at any time
Yeah.
before the suns align. It's just that he hasn't managed to do it because he's just
Yeah.
like James Bond.
Could be. Yeah.
And
The plot
basically,
demands it.
yeah, exactly. So anyway, the Skeksis are really freaking happy because they think as soon as the three suns hit this crystal, they're going to be immortal. So.
Yes. I mean, they're immortal but not eternally young, which is stupid because they would probably not want to age forever.
You want to be careful
So
not to overfish the podlings as one and run out of precious bodily fluids.
but, yeah. At some point you might just have to drain yourself. No, but
Exactly.
it's a here the great conjunction comes. Okay. Well,
Well, yeah.
and
And
yeah, they want to live for who wants to live forever?
oh, that's another great song.
Yeah. Highlander is also a fantasy film
Another
that
80s classic. It's
we
no wonder
also
we're obsessed with 80s, right? Because, well, for me,
yeah.
growing up in that period, it's so such a big genre.
Yeah, I grew up in
Anyways,
I grew up in the 90s, but
yeah, you've got
I
no
still I'm still
excuse.
aware no I'm still aware of many of these 80s fantasy films because they I mean while they were not a financial success necessarily, they had at least they had staying power in a sense that they have a timeless quality to them, the ones that we've discussed already.
So anyway,
And
here we go. The Garth
so here
Fimm.
we go. Yeah, here we go.
Oh no! So basically, Jen throws himself onto the crystal, but he drops the shard, and then the Skeksis obviously realise he's got the shard, so that's not
Yeah.
good. And
Yeah.
now Fizzywig stops the evil emperor guy picking up the shard. So, oh no! And he's thrown him into the pit of Mordor. That's not good. But that's okay, 'cause his owner's got wings, so she can do shit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
She's got the shard now.
so even like semi-zombie Kira has still got enough Gelflinganity, humanity in
Yeah.
her. It's all very scary,
Yeah.
though. Basically, Jen just stands there doing not much.
Yeah, no, so now she's throwing him the shard again.
Yeah, but
And she's getting stabbed.
what do we think his
Oh, yeah.
catching skills are like, though?
They're good. But yeah, Kira's been stabbed fatally.
Well, is it
Yeah.
fatally?
I mean, it looks that way because she's kind of
It's a
lying
kids'
down without
film. Do
moving.
you think the heroine's going to be stabbed fatally?
I mean, that could be it. I mean, I mean, we've seen plenty of characters die in kids' films, right? It's not something new in a sense. But maybe for that time and in that context. Yeah, you wouldn't expect that from the guys who made Muppets anyway. So
Yeah,
yeah,
true.
now he
And
put the
even
shard back in.
he does take his own sweet time, though.
Yeah, he does.
So maybe it
He's
does have
a
to
big
be at
drama
the
queen.
conjunction then, because he seems to wait for that to happen.
Yeah, he's a big drama queen.
Yeah, he is a big drama queen. Him
Yeah.
and Fizzyig.
And so
Anyway, in it goes.
in it goes, yeah, and so the Skeksis are rather
Not happy.
yeah, they're rather startled by this whole development because they weren't anticipating that.
The crystal becomes kind of like white light.
Yeah. And so oh yeah, the Garthim are crumbling. They're imploding.
Yeah.
And so is the whole building, apparently.
Yeah, because it's like Mordor, ain't gonna
Yeah.
survive.
No, ain't gonna survive. And the mystics have arrived just in time. Oh, and there are the podlings as well, the slave podlings who are returning to normal.
Yeah, so basically, at this point, Kira is basically dead, but we're now seeing this like mystic thing where all the mystics come into the castle, as do the Skeksis is already there, and they're all basically just gonna get kind of vaporized, and then you're gonna get the final bit of all the mythology. So,
And this ogre.
I mean, in a way, this is very Greek, this idea that of yin and yang, that the crystal by splitting creates the, it kind of splits people into their good and evil components, and actually they have to be reunified into
One.
composite beings, which are Ur-Skeks in the mythology of this world.
But we're not there yet. It's still crumbling.
Yeah, Orgrist still doesn't have her eye back in. Fizzygig's like holding on for dear life inside the pit of Sarlacc.
Yeah, he's getting saved though.
Yeah, Augur's coming at him with like a very sharp wooden stick. So, delicate rescue. And Jen's crying. It's quite emotional though. Like when you're a kid, this is really upsetting.
Because you don't know what's going to happen, right? Here at the moment, you're sort of like, this is a mystical kind of event that that is not really explained by itself, right? It's
Yeah.
more, it happens on the spot, in the moment, so to speak. And now the Skeksis and the Mystics are essentially being transfixed, so to speak. So they can't move.
Yeah. I forgot just how clever and holistic the philosophy behind all of this is. So much better than I remembered.
And now the Mystics are sort of standing up.
Well, it's lovely, isn't it? Because all the mystics are arranged in the inner circle looking out, and the Skeksis are in the outer
Outer
circle.
circle.
So it's become this beautiful, like unifying ballet in a way. It's really beautiful. I
And now,
forgot just
oh
how
yeah,
good this
now
is.
the Usk, or what would you, what did you say the
The
names were?
Urs, the Ur-Skeks, Ur-Skeks, Ur-Skeks. Like they become one. So it's like not that one side has to triumph over the other side. It's
No, they have to sort of get together and form one
yeah,
being, so to speak.
it's really clever. And they're
Because
beautiful.
obviously, this is, they're really ethereal, I would say, and they look, I mean, if you want to talk about, beings from outer space or something, like they look like they could be from, another planet.
Close encounter of third kind, but they're basically humans dressed up right at this point. This is not puppetry.
Or it could be,
Yes.
I could, yeah, I'm it looks that way. And yeah, they shut the, yeah. So the yeah, that's what we were told, like the crystal split apart, and then now it has made whole again, it has been made whole again. So, and I assume that they will revive Kira.
So basically, like if you really get into all of it, you can tell which Ur-Skek is composed of which mystic and which Skeksis.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it could possibly. I'm not sure. Is this one the now? I mean, what is this one composed of, the form of the master and the chamberlain then?
This is the because that
Or
Ur-Skek
the
died,
emperor?
right? He died. The emperor and the master died, so they would have
Yeah, of
formed
course, yeah.
one Ur-Skek, and then the scientist and the alchemist both died.
Yeah,
So
I mean, yeah, the
this is
new,
the combiner of the healer mystic and the Garthid master Skeksis.
oh yeah,
But anyway, in gratitude, they bring Kira back to
Back to life, yeah,
life. Yay!
happy ending after
Yeah,
all.
exactly.
So,
But
and
you've
now
had a
that,
good 10 minutes of thinking that's not going to happen, so.
no, of course, that's something that I'm sure children were very happy about when they saw this.
Oh,
So.
yeah.
And now what happens to the crystal, we do not know. It seems to stay in that place, but now at least the land around the palace has been healed, so to speak. And yeah, that's where the film ends, which
So
is
basically, yeah.
rather abrupt for an ending, I would say. But still, it's nice to see sort of the change that has been brought about
I find it
by
weird in a way that they kind of like they leave the crystal behind as a gift. I don't understand.
no,
Like if the crystal is what makes them what they are, surely they would have taken the crystal with them.
Oh, I think that they I mean it's like it was before the crystal cracked, I would say. That's why, I mean, the world that they inhabit only got to be the way it looked at the beginning of the film because the crystal cracked. So I'm sure that it was always meant to be in that place because it's
Oh,
tied
okay.
to the fate of the planet that they inhabit.
But anyway, the
So
evil castle
yeah.
that's the black dark castle that stood in a
Yeah.
barren land now becomes a white
So white
diamond
cat.
shining
So
castle in a green land. So it's all very nice. So what did you think? You've never seen it
Oh
before.
no,
Has
it's
it
been
lived up to the hype?
Oh yeah, it's been really interesting for me because I like animation a lot, and so seeing something as in stop motion trying to be as ambitious as it is here is really unique in a sense for me because I don't remember ever seeing, I mean, even the Muppet films are, I mean, some of them are rather, I mean, they're not, some of them are not really good. Like you have Muppet Christmas Carol, which is a really good one. But even then they are not talking about abstract ideas like in this film, right? It's not something as I would say it's very, yeah, I would say abstract is a good word for it. It's talking about very sort of metaphorical
Big
concepts,
philosophical ideas, you know?
Yeah,
Far more than
which
I remember. I mean,
yeah.
it's a profound film. It really holds up, both in terms of its design, but in terms of its content. I mean, it
Yeah,
really holds up.
it's really, I mean, we've seen some parallels between this film and some other films, especially where we talked about Star Wars and that sort of stuff a bit jokingly. I'm sure that that went into it, but at the same time, it's also very, very imaginative in the
And
way, I mean,
unique,
that it
yeah.
creates. Yeah, it the creatures and the environments and everything are very a unique creation. So
And not based on
it's
a
been,
book. It's an
no,
original story, original
yes.
world building.
Which is why I think this is a very precious film that you should, I mean, that obviously you should have your kids watch when they're, let's say,
Maybe
I mean, I would
about
say around,
divorce.
no, around, I mean, I wouldn't mind showing this to my kids if they were around 8 years old or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not, that upset. I wouldn't say it's not that upsetting because, there's no blood or anything that you, I mean, it's the ideas in of themselves can be a bit, intimidating, I would say, the implications and stuff. But otherwise, I think it's a bit too much of a big deal has been made out of the fact that it is, quote unquote, a very dark film. I would say that, kids can handle a lot of stuff, as we said before, so it's
It's
not something.
interesting that in the UK, most children's films are given the U certificate, which is universal, like anyone can see it. But this one does have a PG rating, parental guidance.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting that even the British Board of Film Classification has given it, I mean, PG basically says it can be general viewing, but some scenes will be unsuitable for very young children, so.
Oh
And
yeah.
they kind of generally say it won't unsettle you if you're over 8.
Yeah, I mean the Gotham especially, are pretty intimidating, and obviously the Skeksis. But other than that, there is still a lot of, I mean, kid friendly adventure stuff going on, right? But yeah, we should definitely
We should do
try.
Labyrinth next because
Yeah, we
it's the
should do
obvious.
Labyrinth.
It's the obvious next one.
Yeah, because it's also an 80s fantasy film, and it
Same
has.
people who made this 3 years later, 4 years later, sorry. Yeah,
Yeah,
and it fits very nicely too.
And it's also interesting to say, like, yeah, I mean, some of the designs, like, they are, because they're made by the same people, you can sort of trace the influences back in a way. When you see Labyrinth, you sort of say, oh yeah, these are probably the same people who made the Muppets, who made Dark Crystal.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a style. And I think that,
Like
you know,
Studio Ghibli, right? It has its own, the way in which certain characters look.
yeah, and that's, you know, something that I appreciate, especially because it's hard to have a personality, obviously, when you have you know, studio pressure and everything. And I'm sure with this one, even though, as you said, they made their money back, I'm sure the studio was probably aiming for a bit more, which is probably why we don't see that many of these films, because while they are, you know, classics in their own way, it's really hard to make films of this level consistently, I would say. So it's, you know, I really appreciate, you know, that it was as, you know, influential as it ended up being. And it's really a beautifully shot film as well.
Absolutely. Well, this has been immense fun. I'm really pleased we got around to it, so.
Yeah, and it's, for me, it's been a first, because this was a film that I hadn't seen originally.
Yeah, well,
Oh, sorry.
obviously you need to watch it now without us talking through it so you can really appreciate it. But thank you so much, Mathieu, for joining.
Oh, thank you for having me, for the be okay.
Of course, and obviously we will, try and do this again with Labyrinth.